Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, November the 26th of 2019. And we are so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be accessing the show from, whether you're on your laptop or your iPhone or your Android. If you still got an Android, I don't know what your deal is, because, well, to be honest with you, I just don't think Androids are that great. Brittany, you got an Android or you got an iPhone?
Android.
Oh, Androids.
Yeah, he doesn't like anything
other than
that. I know.
you're awesome. I just think that Android's not as cool as the iPhone.
I agree. That Android makes half of that software you're using.
What?
What?
What do you mean Android makes it all?
I said they make half of that.
How do you know?
Google it. I don't know.
Did you make this up?
No.
Really? You mean to tell me that that Android makes more stuff than what Apple makes?
Yes.
What? How is that possible?
I don't know.
Android is made by Microsoft, I think, right? Or does Android make all their own stuff?
I think Android is itself. I don't know. Want me to Google it?
There were Windows phones at one point, but then those all went away.
Yeah, those didn't last long.
Because nobody bought them, because they were dumb. I didn't have one. I had an iPhone.
Google bought Android.
Oh, Google owns it.
They bought it in 2005.
Oh, yep. Google runs Android. Nothing against Google at all. I'm just not the biggest Android fan. Nothing against Android either. It's just I'm an iPhone guy. And everybody does pick sides. Well, regardless of that, as I would say a few minutes ago, still glad you tuned in, whatever device it's on. We do believe totally that it is a really smart idea to listen to this program on your smart device. Even if flip phones are still smart, you know, by the way, listeners, I remember when flip phones were the rage. I had a couple of them myself. I thought they were cool when I had them, but then when I got the iPhone, I was like, this thing is the coolest thing. I was like, this is a lot better than any flip phone I ever had. And what's this thing I see, that flip phones are now a collector's item? Apparently, flip phones have kind of gotten big again to a degree.
I could be rich. I got a couple of those off my shed.
Or do you think it's just a certain market where they're big, like on some used market or whatever?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. You got me intrigued now.
Well, I just heard that they were kind of becoming a thing again.
Oh.
To a degree.
Yeah, they're making, like, folding smartphones now, like touchscreens.
And what it is once you fold it up, does it become a flip phone?
You can use it like a flip phone, but then when you unflip it, it looks like a regular phone. It's just smaller.
What you mean by regular, you mean, like, it looks like the smartphone? That's what you meant?
Yeah. Like how your phone looks like now, it just, like, folds.
But when we fold it up, it looks like the phones we used to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the phones you and I would have had like 12 years ago.
Right, when we thought we were cool kids.
Yeah, back when we all thought we were the cool kids. But then once we discovered a whole different world when we discovered something called the smartphone. Some people like to tease and say if your phone doesn't have a screen on it, or do any of the stuff that a smartphone does, that it's a dumb phone. Well, to that I will say, to each his own. But we're so glad, we're so thankful that you chose to tune into the program tonight. And tonight, with it being Thanksgiving week, I'm going to keep talking about being thankful to God and how do we show our gratitude to God for what he's done in our lives. So you're thankful. How do you show it? And we're going to discuss that for a while tonight. And then I'm also going to talk a little bit tonight about the first Thanksgiving. Tomorrow night, I will be sharing some of the proclamations of Thanksgiving, including the one from Abraham Lincoln that made it permanent, along with the one from George Washington. That was the one from back in the 1700s. As well as sports tonight. I think I'm gonna talk about Monday Night Football. Tomorrow night, I will give you my predictions for the final, for the high school finals for divisions 1 and 2. The Michigan prediction against that team to the south. The Michigan State prediction to finish the regular season. The lie-downs game for Thanksgiving Day. And then another NFL game to be determined. That's right, listeners. I call them the lie-downs because they've lost way too often lately. Way too often. And when you're losing, when they're losing like that, they deserve to be called the lie-downs. Because they keep finding ways to let us Michiganders down. Don't they? We all know they are. I'm not saying I'm giving up on them forever, but I am saying this year there were a lot of promises and injuries and other things got in the way. But anyhow, before I get into the word of the Lord for tonight and talk about the first Thanksgiving, here on this Thankful Tuesday. I'm going to, I just wanted to remind everybody that this show has been brought to you by McDonald's, which is now featuring their holiday pies for Christmas time. And they come with custard on the inside of them. And they are delish. Every time I have one, they're always delicious. Every time. And I've had them every year since, I mean, they've had them every year since 2011. I have had them every year since then as well. The first year they were so popular that many McDonald's were running out of them like a week and a half before Christmas. Do you remember that, Brittany?
I don't. That was the first time I've ever had one. It was the other day.
But in 2011, they ran out of them a week and a half before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Including the mall one.
Huh.
I wonder if people are buying them more at that one, maybe?
Maybe because, like, people are just, like, at the mall walking around and shopping.
And because it looked like Christmas, they decided to get them.
Right.
And with that being the first... And with it being the first season, the first year that they had them. But I'm assuming they all sold like that at all the McDonald's and not just certain ones. But you can go through there and enjoy yourself a nice Christmas pie. With the custard in it, and to go with it, of course, you can never go wrong with an any size Coke for the low price of just a dollar. You can also never go wrong with an order of America's favorite fries, as America has chosen McDonald's as its favorite French fry time and time again. Even my pastor asked what happened to him during midweek service last week. He was just kind of in that funny mood, and then he was asking, you know, what happened to the fries? In my mind, they're still really good, but I think in his mind, something happened to them. And to be honest with you, listeners, I don't know what it could have been. Do you think the fries are always the same way that as you've remembered?
Probably like 6 years ago, approximately. I think they changed the oil they cooked in.
I think it was more like 12, 13.
Really that long? Maybe, what, I don't know, but they changed it.
What did the oil used to be like?
I'm not sure what oil they used, but they changed it. It was supposed to be healthier.
Well, I think they, back in the early 90s, though, before the early 90s, they used to fry the pies.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, they decided to quit doing that.
Why?
Apparently, there were complaints. People always have to complain, so they decided to bake the pies instead. Do I think they should still fry them? Depending on the kind. The Christmas pies are great the way they are. The apple pies, I think they should have kept frying them. Through the 90s, through the 2000s, through the 2010s, and then, like, forever.
Forever?
There's a couple of McDonald's, though, in America that still have them.
Still fry them?
Yep. Sadly, they are so few and so far between.
Huh.
I just, I just wish they knew how to get their hands back on them. I wonder if some of the McDonald's, I wonder if it's in certain markets, it's all the McDonald's that have them. I bet you it is in some markets. In other markets, I bet you they don't. Because these different food companies will test items in certain markets. Example, they might test things in the Detroit market, or they might test things like in the Michigan market. Or maybe Michigan market outside of Detroit. Because I imagine any so-called market that McDonald's has at least 50 McDonald's in it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because I know just in the three counties alone, Midland Bay and Saginaw, four here, about like 10 in Bay County, another 20 in Saginaw County, close to 20, like 30 McDonald's. But needless to say, I want to say there was one in California that has them, Downey, California. One in I want to say there's some in Florida, a certain part of Florida where they had them. But like I said, they made the choice to get rid of the fried apple pie. You know, Raley's has those fried pies. Have you ever had those?
What kind of pies do they have?
Fried apple and fried something else and something else and possibly something else.
Oh, you're helpful.
I think one of them was cherry. I think another one might have been blueberry.
Huh.
Maybe it's just apple. Last time I had one of them was a couple of years ago, and I remember it was delicious. It was like, I prefer that one to the baked.
They're way better.
I think so. To each his own, as I will say. And also, I want to let you know that tomorrow night it'll be at a different time. It'll be earlier because you normally have church Thursday night, but this week with it being Thanksgiving, we're not having it. Thursday night, we're having it. Wednesday night. And so, I'll let you know. All right. Also, yep, I was just getting another little notification thingy bother. But anyhow, listeners, you know, with there's a couple other things I wanted to let you know. One of them is that this weekend, unfortunately, there could be a big storm coming Friday night, Saturday, along with possibly Sunday. Just stay on alert, as they say. Make sure everything's ready to go. Because tomorrow, there's a big storm out west tomorrow into Thursday morning. And then starting with Friday, working its way east, like through the Twin Cities, like in Minnesota. 3 inches of snow just on Black Friday daytime itself. It was more likely more on Friday night into Saturday. This will quite possibly move its way east into Michigan. I hope we don't get it. I don't want it. We don't need it. I wish it could just snow on the road. On the grass and stay off the roads. So that could be, the ground could be well decorated for the holidays. And for the snow to stay on the grass between Thanksgiving and Christmas. After which, I want it out of here. By like January 1st. Because in my mind, the Christmas stuff need not come down on December 20, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31st. New Year's Day at the earliest. I've heard of people who take their stuff down on Christmas Day. Why would they do that, Whitney?
My grandpa does it.
He still does?
Yeah.
Got it. You need to, like, sit in front of it on Christmas Day when he's thinking about taking it down. And put another chair underneath it. Put, like, a big ladder in front of it. You know, set some traps up there so we can't get to it to take it down. Benches. Because, like, so that they can't be really high. You should still be able to see the tree. It's just supposed to be guarded.
He's got an ugly white tree, though.
That's why it's not going to be barricaded?
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw him take it down on Christmas Day?
He does every year.
Right in front of you guys when everybody's there?
Uh-huh.
Oh!
Tired of it being in the way, I guess.
Well, in my mind, that's kind of... I just think it's crazy when you're taking it down on Christmas Day.
Right?
When a station, if any radio station that decides to do 24/7 Christmas music, in some of these months. If any one of them decides that, for whatever reason, like at 9 o'clock or whatever, they're going to decide, we're done with Christmas music, even though it's still December 25th, we're turning it off. Why? Why would you turn it off? Why? Because to me, that is just... insane that they would just decide to turn it down, to shut it down early. But like I said, the snow can stay till pretty much January 1st, after which I want it out. And then can we have it be like 80 degrees by like March 1st? Stay there to August 31st? Just have a double length summer? man can dream, right?
Right.
Sad thing is here in Michigan, that won't be happening. All right. No. I want to encourage your listeners to please tell others how they can be a part of this great show. Please do it. The number to call in is, if you want to talk to me, is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll want to go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener, and then my assistant will let me know that we have a caller calling in. And then I'll let you discuss basically anything you want to talk about. If you want to talk to me about sports, you want to ask me about the Bible, you want to ask me about the first Thanksgiving, and we can just have at it. And hopefully we can have some great callers tonight. There's this song I want to sing from Andre Crouch, many other artists sang it. It's called "To God Be the Glory." How can I say thanks to you, Lord my God? How can I say thanks in everything you've done? Through it all to me. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And with his love he raised me. And by his power, he saved me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And so when he's in love to me, and when I visit me by his grace, and he shed his blood on Calvary. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And by his power he raised me. And with his power he has saved me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. For the things he has done. And I just think about that, and I just think about God's goodness, and I just give thanks for everything that he's done. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this evening. Thank you for these listeners that have tuned in tonight to learn something about you. This week of Thanksgiving, Lord God, we are talking about giving thanks unto you with a grateful heart. We're going to read a couple of psalms tonight, and we're going to talk about giving thanks unto you, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, that your hand is upon me to teach. Your hand is upon, and that your spirit is upon these listeners to learn something. Think of that they have come with hearts that are prepared to learn more about you and about your goodness. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Lord, I confess over the show right now that sponsors and partners are coming to this program that finances are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program, and most importantly, Lord, I thank you for for souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great and wonderful radio program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go to Psalm chapter 136. Then after that, I want to go to 147 and 148. Now, most Psalms are rather short, so I'm going to go to several of them. Praise God. And I want to encourage you, please, to follow along. If I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. As I study the Bible, you follow along with me. As I said, Psalm 136. Hallelujah. By the way, I did beat you. Any one of you who thought you beat me to Psalm 136? Well, maybe by faith you beat me. All right, 136, let's go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. And again, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth under the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun, he made the sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. I'm skipping over some of the his love endures forever because I don't want to be annoying. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. Verse 14. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, and he brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, gave their land as an inheritance. An inheritance to his servant Israel. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And he freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. Amen. And who agrees? I mean, and who gives food to every creature? His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever. Let's go to Psalm 147. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. Doesn't sound very thankful at all. Oh yeah. You see your kid throwing your fit when they're little. Any one of you who's been a child, I can guarantee you threw a fit. I can guarantee it. Oh, and when you throw a big fit, that means that's a sign that you are so thankful and so grateful, right? Oh, that's right. It's not. All right. I'm going to read 146. Also, 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The maker of heaven and earth. Notice maker is capitalized, listeners. Maker of heaven and earth. The sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. He prefers the cause of the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Amen. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alone and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, of all generations. Praise the Lord. 147. How good it is to sing praise to our God. How pleasant and how fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. Anyone? Determines that. Yep, I'm just skipping over some of these. Skip down to verse 6. The Lord sustains the humble. But he casts the wicked to the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord, it says, come near the Lord with thanksgiving. make music unto God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain, and he makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the captive and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates, and he blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders, and he satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He scorches the snow like wool and scatters the frost like aces. He hurls down his hail like rubbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and he melts them, and he stirs up his breezes, and the waters flow. And he has revealed his word to Jacob, and his laws and his decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other man. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Lastly, 148. Praise the Lord, you heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all of the angels. Praise him, all of his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, your highest heavens and waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, and mountains, and all trees and all cedars, and all cattle. Small creatures that fly, birds, kings of the earth, and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens. It says, let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted. Splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn. The praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. All right. What we learned, what we found out here is that you saw a lot of things that God does all the time. As I mentioned last night, while we have earthly things to be grateful for, to have a roof over our head and to have all the other great things that we enjoy on earth, and those things are great. And, you know, it's great that we have Jehovah Jireh, who's our provider. But it's because of God. That we get to have a lot of us. One of the reasons, you know, and what you see here, and in a lot of those Psalms that we read, all four of them, it mentions praising the Lord. One way that you give thanks unto the Lord, through praise and worship. When you make the choice to praise and worship the Lord, whether it be at church, whether it be you enter into when I sing a song here on the show, whether it be you're at home or you're at work or whatever you're doing, when you praise the Lord, that's a sign of thanksgiving unto Him. Yeah. And by praising Him, we are making mention, we are thanking Him for all the things that He's done. When we worship the Lord, we're giving thanks for who He is. Both of these are very important. Worship, praise. By the way, I did not create this to be a worship seminar. I was just mentioning that briefly. But to stay on this for just a second, but to continue, you know. Another way you show your thanksgiving unto God, you show your gratitude to Him, by giving. In the offering. You know, if you're thankful for what the gospel has done in your heart, give. Unto the work of the Lord. Beyond your tithe. The tithe is 10%. You're giving beyond that is your gift to the Lord. And, you know, your local church will use it for what they'll use it for. You know, for a church project or whatever they'll use it for. But when you're sowing unto God, as long as you're not doing it because you're angry and because you feel like, oh my goodness, my pastor wants all my money. As long as you're not doing that, to God, it's a sign of thanks. Unto the Lord. By the way, the Bible does say, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. That's what the Bible says. And there's all kinds of verses about giving thanks unto God. Another one. Give thanks in everything. Not for everything. I added the not for everything part. As I said last night, and as I've said other times, we don't thank God for the struggle when we're going through a struggle. We thank God that he is will deliver us from it. Like we read about a few minutes ago, about these people that were delivered from the sea. They were delivered from Egypt. They were, you know, and how God brought Israel through. You know, those Israelites, you know, with Moses and all them. And sorry about that. I was just checking the clock. I'm not necessarily trying to be in a hurry. Of course, you know, this thing only goes to a certain time. But at the same time, you know, as I was saying a minute ago, you know, if you love the Lord, one way you show it is by being thankful to him. And you show it by your actions. As you go about living your Christian life. A person who has received a miracle should truthfully be thanking the Lord with their mouth. God should hear them thanking him. You know, and Luke talks about how there's 10 lepers. All 10 of them get healed. Only one of them comes back. And he thanks the Lord for that healing that he received. And he was made completely whole. Jesus said, weren't all 10 of these lepers cleansed? Well, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Where'd they go? Why don't they come back and thank me? Do you think I think it's possible maybe some of them were just too busy? Plants, houses, fields, job, wife, kids, cars. Oh, my God, I got to take care of my car, my tractor, my wife, my kids, my roses. I got to mow my lawn. Oh, my gosh, I got to figure out what's wrong with my car, my oil, my tires. My snowplow, all these excuses. Now, granted, in the day that Jesus lived upon this earth, people had excuses for why they couldn't be at that banquet. Marriage. Oh yeah, I just got married, so I can't come. Oh, bring your spouse with you. Jobs. Got to go look at yoke of oxen. Got to look at this. Got to. And they're like, I was asking for these excuses. But like I was saying, those men, you know, that man who came back and gave thanks unto Jesus, that man was completely healed. There was no more sign of leprosy on him, not one. The other guys, they got healed, but they might have still had a sign. I'm not saying, Jesus does not heal partway. He heals completely. My God is a restorer. Yes, he is. And you know, I got a story to tell you. So, one day, Dr. Buckley had a guest come, one of his fathers in the faith, who are all now in heaven. One of his fathers in the faith, Dr. Roy Hicks, he came to Midland. One of the times he came to Midland, he's staying at this huge sprawling hotel in Midland over here near Wackerly and Eastman. It's now closed. He stayed in this giant hotel. There's all of these zigzagging hallways up and down it, all around. I bet you know, Brittany, you know exactly what hotel I'm talking about, don't you? You what, you stayed at that one? You've been in it, Brittany?
Yeah.
But anyway, he was in this hotel. By the way, this hotel is now closed. It's kind of sad what happened to it, actually, because I had a couple of great memories there. But anyhow, he's ready to come out. He's like, Where's Roy Hicks? Where's Dr. Hicks? Where's Dr. Hicks? Dr. Hicks is coming down the hallway. And he's like all walking a certain way. And he's saying, thank you, Lord. 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 And then he walks out to the car. Dr. Buckley's in it. I'm assuming one of the armor bearers is in it too. I'm sure. They drive out to the church. Dr. Buckley's going like, it's on. What's going on, Dr. Hicks? Is everything all right? Take it to the church. It's like, all right, we're here now. And then Dr. Hicks said, I decided that I was just going to do nothing but thank the Lord from when I got to out of my hotel room out to your car. And every time he took a step, he thanked the Lord. Did people look at him? Dr. Buckley said, did people look at you funny? Nah. But he chose to thank the Lord all the way from. And obviously, I think he walked down a few of the hallways of that monster, of that huge, sprawling hotel. Had all these different hallways, all these. But he just purposed to thank God on the way out of there. And then he thanked God all the way to the church. He had such a grateful heart. I remember one time he was preaching in our church, and he led us in over 200 thank yous in the course of like 3 or 4 minutes. As cool as the story is, I hope that's how we actually feel about God. I hope that we don't thank Him all the time. And then not put Him first. Skip church all the time. Steal the tithe. And do all that kind of stuff that people who are not grateful to God, all that kind of stuff. If you're doing all that kind of stuff, then you're probably not grateful. So. Needless to say, we should always have a grateful heart and a thankful heart towards God. And you know what else? Life swings on the door of gratitude. It really does. All right. The first Thanksgiving. Was in 1621. The pilgrims, including Squanto and all of the others, had came to America, landed in Massachusetts after a long and tiring voyage from Europe. there have been great storms on the Atlantic Ocean. By great, I mean severe. And more than over half the people on the ship, on the Mayflower, had died. And there's all those Indians, you know, including the Wampanoags. Dr. Buckley tried to tell him that story last week, and he did real bad at saying Wampanoags. He didn't really do it. It was kind of funny. The Wampanoags. There were some of those Indians, those pilgrims that came over. One of the leaders said, "We shall have a day of thanksgiving." They have given thanks to, you know, a time of thanksgiving unto God for the bounty of the crops of the past year. And originally, the first Thanksgiving feast was 3 days. And people roasted turkeys. And they made other foodstuffs, stuffings, and cornmeal. Hallelujah, cornmeal. That sounds like something. Do you think it was the cornmeal from the South?
Probably.
I wonder if that's where the Southern cornmeal came from. I hope so. You know, some of that sweet cornbread.
Yeah, I like it with jalapenos in it.
Oh, no, it needs to be like sweet or something or just plain. You don't need to put no jalapenos in it. You're messing with it.
Yeah, it's delicious like that.
Hey. All right. Corn. All right. So anyway, they made turkey cornmeal. They also made squash and cranberries. And ladies baked pies. Oh, the pies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just thinking about it. And it was to celebrate, by the way, a day of thanksgiving, you know, a day of celebration, a day of giving of thanks unto Almighty God for the bounty that he had blessed those pilgrims with. After all, it had been a very long journey to America from Britain. Very well. It's not like the ship had a motor on it. This was in the 1600s, so I don't know what all it was made out of. And those pilgrims, they all gathered there in November of 1621, and they feasted for 3 days. And they were sure they played games and everything else they did. They didn't have football yet back then. Oh, by the way, there was no TV, so there was no way you could scream at the Lions yet. I know it. Some of you listeners, I'm just gonna throw that plate when you see that the Bears just scored a touchdown. Hopefully you won't, but just saying. Well, anyhow, like I was saying, you know, they played their games, and it was a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving unto the Lord their God, who had brought them there, and for the blessings that they had accumulated after they had made their crops, you know, for the food.
It's taking easy when I get this up to my mouth
and
people
wham
back.
And over the course of the year. And all the blessings that they had accumulated over the course of time. Back in those days, Thanksgiving wasn't exactly every year. Now it's one day. We still eat a lot of it. We still eat a lot of the same things that they ate. You know, the you know that turkey. That stuffing. They had all that like 500 years ago. No, excuse me. 400. In 2021, it'll be the 400th anniversary of the first Thanksgiving. I don't know where the potato masher was in 1621. Where was it? And by the way, squash, count me out. I don't want no squash. The stuffing is okay, but I just choose not to eat it. I'm all in on the pies. But they, you know, but what they celebrated was God, was what they celebrated. We still eat up. You know, Thanksgiving weekend should be a target. Thanksgiving unto God. We should not lose track of what Thanksgiving was really about. Should not just be Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving weekend should not just be, like I said last night, the day you get into a food, the day you eat a lot, and then get into a food coma. And then get up from your nap, see what's going on the team, you know what the Lions are doing, you know, and then you have all your family there, and then you go shopping, and then you do all. Everything else. Nothing against that. It's just we need to make sure that we give thanks unto God for what He's given us. As it's not meant to be just this pagan holiday, by any means. Or all it's about a turkey, a pigskin, and a couch because you ate too much. By the way, about the eating too much thing, I'm not being serious at all. I'm kind of kidding. I am kidding. Some of us will eat too much and we know it. You probably will, Brittany, won't you?
No, I don't really like that stuff.
Really?
Really?
Really? Breaking news. Somebody here doesn't like turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, pies.
Mashed potatoes.
What about
turkey?
Turkey.
I like ham, though. I don't don't know if they're making ham.
Hopefully so. I would hope so.
I hope so, but I don't think my grandma is.
Nice ham. Yes.
I like turkey, but I'd rather have ham.
I should just come and take the ham. You know, yeah, nothing like a nice salty ham.
Are you having ham?
Turkey.
Turkey.
With hopefully a lot of gravy on it. Over the mashed potatoes. But you see, listeners.
I think my grandma's making me chicken.
Oh, chicken for Thanksgiving? That's different.
Yeah, because I don't like turkey, so she's making me some chicken breast.
I've heard of people going to McDonald's for Christmas Day. For Thanksgiving Day. Why anybody would do that is beyond me, unless they're on the way to go shopping or just got done shopping.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do when we go shopping, because we usually have our dinner at, like, 1 o'clock, so it's not really, like, at dinner time. So we usually just go to McDonald's or get pizza, whatever's open.
So you just go to McDonald's.
Yep.
Anyhow, so it should be about being thankful to God. Oh, and by the way, you kick someone out of their parking spot so you can have it. I'm just saying, like people will do that on Thanksgiving night or on the next day when they go after each other over a parking spot and all that. Run your cart into the other person's cart. I'm not saying you listeners do it, but maybe one of you hasn't. But that's being so thankful, right? When you just shove your cart into the other person's cart, fight them over the TV you didn't get, and they took it. Not.
Okay.
By the way, that car alarm, I don't know what's up with that. Well, my point is we should never lose track about what Thanksgiving is about. That is about giving thanks unto God. Father, bless these listeners. Bless these listeners. Thank you, Jesus, that your hand is upon them and upon us. Thank you for what we have in you and that. It's going to be a great weekend this weekend. Thank you that these listeners will take this word to heart and that they will just look at it. Thank you that we will be doers of your word and not yours only. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that's one of your cars.
Nope. Not there.
How do you know?
Because they already said.
Then why is it going off?
Somebody else's, I don't know.
They're all mine from
9 o'clock. Anyhow. Listeners, in terms of sports, the Ravens last night, they totally just dismantled the Rams, 45-6. It was almost like one of these high school games that you'll see kind of often in the regular season. Lamar Jackson in for a real long time. But it's crazy. But Lamar Jackson has become, just in his first season, as a Raven. The Ravens are the only team that have beaten the Patriots this year. They're finding ways to just romp over everybody. some of you may think, are they going to, some of you may be wondering, are they going to be the, are they going to be the ones in the Super Bowl? Well, you'll have to win both or all three of your playoff games first. I said both or all three because it depends on whether or not you get a bye, a first-round bye. The Patriots only have one loss. Some of their opponents lately have been playing them a little bit closer than they like, but you know, the Cowboys, they could, but they're vulnerable. Of course, yes, I said the Ravens. You got the 49ers still doing good things. Saints with a healthy Breeze, possibly. The best team in the NFC to me looks to be the 49ers right now. AFC side, it's a toss-up between the Ravens and Patriots. But when I look at Minnesota, they look, you know, on the NFC side, I look at different teams from the NFC. I would say the best teams in the NFC right now, today, are the 49ers, the Saints, and then either the Vikes or the Cowboys. I think it's close between the two, the Vikings and Cowboys. Excuse me, I don't mean the Vikings, I mean the Packers. Vikings or Cowboys are next after Packers, I would say. Because the Packers are really getting things done. You say, what about the Rams? They've kind of taken a step back. They're not doing what they were last year. They're just not. I don't think they're going to win their division. I'm not sure they're going to make the playoffs, to be honest. Kind of like Detroit. Detroit only has 3 wins, 7 losses, and a tie. That 7 losses and 1 tie, that combined is 8 games that were not wins. So to be honest with you, I'm going to have to say that I believe the Lions will probably not make the playoffs this year. Do any of you folks in here see a way to the playoffs for the Lions? Any of you?
No, I don't think so.
Too many losses, huh?
Yeah.
Between the teams ahead of them, you see no path?
Definitely.
What do you mean is definitely not? No,
definitely
path.
Not. I don't think they're going to make it.
No.
They're not very good this year.
I don't think there's. And I was really hoping, listeners, that they'd find a way this year to possibly win their division. Unfortunately, though, that's not going to happen. The injury bug bit them hard, couldn't stay healthy. One of their better players got traded. When you have health problems plus trades equals not the greatest stuff happening. So, what changes will happen next year? I don't know. I really don't. But
we have more
Michigan in basketball last night. Michigan State, number 3 Michigan State, was upset by Virginia Tech, 69-67. That was kind of a big, kind of a surprise. I mean, Virginia Tech has had some good teams, but that was kind of a shocker that I didn't see coming. Tomorrow night, as I said earlier in the show, I will have my football picks as well as upcoming Red Wings and Pistons games and Michigan State games for the weekend. All right. Until tomorrow, folks. God first. God always. So long, everybody.